Hello and welcome to a very special end of season Exiled Eagles. The season finally reached its climax, a bit like a Game of Thrones, it all ended satisfyingly, but boy was it a bumpy ride getting there. With me I have the usual podders, Dal Coy, how you doing?
Good evening everybody.
Mark Werner, how are you mate?
After the first time this season, I get to say g'day. Dale didn't steal my bit and say g'day. So, hello, Tony and gentlemen, and I will not be getting any of your Game of Thrones references as I'm yet to watch.
Agreed.
Deary me. Okay. Rob, how are you? Do you watch Game of Thrones?
I do. I'm one behind us. I don't know what's happened yet.
Ah, okay, well, all right. We'll have a spoiler-free
episode. I'm assuming there's plenty of nudity, which is the only reason I watched it, so...
yeah. Well, we'll discuss that on another podcast, so...
the Game of Thrones podcast. Yeah. Stay tuned.
I guess we should start with some local business. This weekend it was the A-League Grand Final, which is interest to Palace fans because it was Tony Popovich in the final with Perth Glory. The perennial bridesmaid, never a bride, unfortunately for him, lost his fourth final to Sydney FC. Get in! Sydney FC managed to win.
Tony, aren't you a Melbourne Victory fan?
Don't start that again. Sydney FC managed to win on penalties despite not having a shot on target the entire game. So I think that's something Roy would be proud of. Mark, you watched it, did you?
Yes, mate, I watched it. I think it's one of the first neutral games I've watched in the A-League. If Roy aren't playing, I don't bother. But, yeah, watched it from start to finish. Obviously, with the... Yeah, hoping Popper would get up, given it was his fourth time at the dance, and couldn't manage it. I think in saying that, you know, Sydney FC didn't have a shot on target. I think Perth only had two in 120 minutes, so it wasn't like they were marauding over them and hardly done by. So
two teams set up how Roy sets up against the top six, wasn't it? With just like. Six defenders each side and no attacking intent from anyone.
Pretty much, mate, yeah. So, just felt for Popper a bit, you know, fourth time there, the Roar, we've done him once before. And for Perth, the only foundation club still waiting on a championship. So, feeling for those guys, but always next season, as they say.
Yeah, 56,000 turnout, though, which is pretty good. Well, pretty good. Bloody amazing.
Yeah.
It's good for Popper, I think, as well. You know, he goes to a new club and then immediately sort of gets results, so it's a good sign on his managerial capabilities.
Absolutely, mate. He came straight out of the blocks with Western Sydney Wanderers, and won the Premier's Plate with them, I think, in his first or second season. Now he's gone and done that with Perth Glory. So, you know, he's not disgraced himself by any stretch. And obviously won the Asian Champions League with the Wanderers that no other Australian manager is yet to do. So, he just needs to get the monkey off his back, mate, and pull up one of these grand finals one of these days and... But yeah, good crack by him and the lads, and congrats to yourself, mate. Another bit of silverware for you.
Yep, happy with that. Very happy with that.
Just quickly, talking of not disgracing themselves, Brendan Santalab.
Oh, he did disgrace himself.
That's just painting a picture for anyone who, well, I'm guessing no one knows. Last kick in professional football, penalty shootout, and he decided to take a Panenka. The goalkeeper didn't move and just caught it. Brilliant.
I mean, if you know anything about Brendan Santalab or followed his career, that is exactly the sort of arrogant, swagger-like decision that he would make and fail to pull off. He's got a few tickets on himself, that bloke, so I couldn't help but chuckle when that just floated gently into the goalkeeper's arms.
Yeah.
So that was his last kick in professional football?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So he can dwell on that for the rest of his life.
And if we're talking about Australians and penalties... Millet shows you how to do it, my friend.
Ah, mate.
Yeah, man.
How good was that?
Yeah. Yeah.
That bloke.
Just
that bloke.
Strolls on, puts it away.
Heart emoji.
I reckon he's absolutely shattered, though.
steely resolve.
No way.
Why do you say that?
Well, because he, how much does Millet actually run anymore? He had to jog on the pitch.
Yeah, good point.
Run up and take a penalty and jog back. He would have been better.
Yeah, he's trying to sum himself off after the penalty, didn't he?
Anyway.
There was a good bit of glaring going on after the pen too, wasn't there?
Yeah. He just stared at the fans and wandered off and like stared at the referee. He's like, you dare make me run and I'm going to kick the shit out of you. And the referee was kind of like, no worries, mate, take your time.
So are we supporting Villa in the final because of the Jedi factor?
I would have thought so.
Mason Mount.
Or does your love for Mason Mount?
Mason Mount.
Yeah, we know. I've never seen a man so conflicted as Dale right this very moment.
Also, Derby, because if Villa don't go up, we've got a chance of Jack Grealish.
Yeah,
that's... No chance of Jack Grealish.
Why not?
No. Because he'll go to someone bigger than us for a lot more money than we're going to spend.
I thought that was a feasible signing, that one.
Nah.
I'm sure we'll come on to this later. Let's keep up.
There's more chance of me growing my Jew fro. I'll get a Jew throw before Grealish comes back.
Wow.
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 All right, we'll hold you to that.
Yeah, come on, Jack Grealish.
All right.
You might be disappointed.
Well, talking about disappointed, let's get on with talking about Crystal Palace. So this season held a lot of promise. And did it fail to deliver, or are we happy how it went? Rob, let's start with you. What do you reckon?
Oh, no. Look, I'm gonna chastise myself. I was very much in the Roy out camp, and that he's done a good job in the end. He has. I'll hold my hands up. I haven't enjoyed it at times, but I mean, you can't argue with the final result, can you? What was it? Top points with being for a 38 game season, ridiculous away record, ridiculous home record for a completely separate reasoning. But at times we played really well, and at times we were absolute rubbish. So. You know, I suppose it's par for the course as a Palace fan. You can't be disappointed all up. But my concern is, I don't think, as I said in an earlier pod, I don't think we're going to go any further than we are, than where we are now under Roy. That would be, this is our ceiling.
Yeah.
Right now. That's where we're at. So the short answer is, good season, done well. There's a but that it comes with caveats, I would say.
Okay. And Mark, would you say that you're happy with this ceiling for another season? Another season of mid-table obscurity, potential sort of bit of a cup run, get some big results?
I mean, I'd agree with Rob with everything he said and the season we had. Tony, you pointed out something probably a bit over halfway throughout the season that resonated with myself, and that was by keeping Roy and what you just said, it brings stability. You're probably going to be guaranteed, you know, let's say 8th to 14th or 15th, you know, 8th being the optimal run and 15th not so much. So, you know, if we do a good bit of business in the transfer window, keep Roy, let him run out his contract, so I don't lose any coin there. I'd be happy for another mid-table finish next season with a little bit of a cup run, either in the League Cup or the FA. I'd just like the peaks and troughs to sort of even out a bit and just be a bit more middle of the road than the very much up and down season that we had. So which is why I think we feel. Well, I personally feel a bit aggrieved, and you think, points record and that sort of thing, but we never got going. We never really got going, and I think that's why everyone's still a bit like, but then, you turn and look at all the stats, and go, oh, we'll take that every day of the week, and that's not a bad crack. So, I was going along with Rob when he said, that's pretty much our glass ceiling we've got with Roy, which I kind of agree with. But with that comes stability, and that's not a bad thing for a club like us in the Premier League.
Totally, and especially from a business point of view, Steve Parrish will be happy with a bit of stability. Dale, you happy with a bit of stability?
100%. For me, that's where we need to be. It's all well and good. We can turn around and say, look at Leicester, look at Wolves, look at West Ham. but we're not them, we're us. Let's keep Rory. I have this weird dream or weird vision that Rory will do another season, by which time Gareth Southgate will afford, everyone will hate him in England because he's messed up a major tournament. Gareth comes and manages us, and he brings through all these amazing young England under 21 internationals like Mason Mount, and we go on to be one of the best young teams in the country.
With Jack Grealish.
And Jack Grealish is young, yeah. Yeah, it's a few of them. No, but in all seriousness, okay. It's been a good season. If you could, if we could mix, take out half of our away wins and put them into home wins, everyone will go, well, it was a good season. It's because the contrast was so big between our home and away form that people were pissed off.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I'm not sure if I've said this last pod, but it's kind of weird for us because the home and away doesn't really affect us, does it? Because we watch every game the same way. It's just we watch it at 2 o'clock in the morning on the TV. So really that home, you sort of barely even notice that that's a thing other than the press talk about it. But my God, it must be frustrating if you're a season ticket holder and just a season ticket holder and having to, watch those games before the last few games of the season. So I can understand why people were annoyed.
For sure.
Yeah, so what do you reckon went right, Rob, and what do you reckon went wrong in the season? Can you sort of pinpoint certain factors?
It's really hard, because I think we've had some monster highs. I mean, the only team to get anything at City. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then we're getting teams to make Brighton look like City. So, at home and away, you just think, what? Obviously, the glaring thing is you look at our strikers, and then we didn't have a striker really scoring any goals until Batshuayi came in, and he's not our player, and he won't be next season, I don't think. So, there's the glaring thing in the missing in the squad. And at times, I think this is the other thing that why people kind of like, meh, about finishing 12, is that, yes, our away form was amazing, but at times it was so boring. You know, that Newcastle game away, I mean, don't tell me you enjoyed that. That was crap.
Oh, that was bad.
You know, Huddersfield, you knew how we were going to set up away, and I understand why. But there are times when we could have just gone at teams home and away, and we just didn't. So what went right defensively was superb when we had Sacco, Tompkins, AWB. Guaita has gone well. I mean, I know Dale has his reservations, but I think Guaita is a huge step up on Henderson. He's going to be hopefully our long-term keeper. That's gone well. Wilf, when he turned it on, was fantastic. Kiati's been a great signing. Jeffrey Shoup, us now knowing that Jeffrey Shoup's Roy Hodgson's love child, which is also an interesting turn of events. But, you know, not much did go wrong, I would say. Nothing really went wrong. To finish 12th with the maximum points, nothing went wrong. It's just that we had awful blips that are going to stick in the memory for a long time. Brighton, West Ham, you know, those type of games where we were just rubbish. Southampton at home. They were that bad that they're the ones that kind of stick out. And then the good ones, like your City's away, you kind of, unfortunately, a lot of people are going to hold on to the rubbish. But that's just Palace fans.
Yeah.
Go on to Palace Twitter. Amazing.
Yeah, true. So, Mark, like, obviously most of the season we were pretty defensive, didn't go at teams. It was really frustrating. Then towards the end of the season, we started going at teams. Like, the last few games, we were scoring goals for fun, but we were also conceding left, right and centre to some pretty average teams. What would you like to see us do? Go back to the sort of traditional defensive mode, or sort of just go absolutely wild like we have done the last couple of games?
It's hard to say, isn't it? The season, individual games, we just didn't come out of the blocks at all, I don't think. And then, you know, typically we would be a second half team and play better in the second half. And then our season itself would be better in the second half. So we can, you know, our away form was awesome, home not so good. So if we can just iron these things out and, you know, take things out of one column and put them in the other, not wait till the second half and not wait till, you know, we're 10 or 15 rounds into a season before we get going. Yeah, I'd like to see us have a little bit more attacking flair. But, you know, in saying that, you don't want to open up at the back and concede a a heap of goals, and I think we did really well considering we lost our two centre-backs for a large portion of the season at the end there. We lost Mama, and then, you know, JT a couple of weeks after that, and then they were gone. So the boys that stepped in there did pretty well. But, yeah, I'd like to see us going forward a little bit more than what we were.
Yeah, just want to kind of add to that. If you look at the last two games, and everyone's going to say, look, we conceded five goals away to Cardiff and home to Bournemouth. But four of them, one was an own goal from Kelly because him and Guaidó didn't talk. One was a 30-yard thunderbolt into top corner.
What's
from
a goal?
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you've got 11 men behind the ball. He's scoring that. The Ibe goal was a deflection because Wardy came out to block it. Just took a deflection and beat it. And then King was... AWB just switched off at a corner. So it's not as if we just got cut apart at will and they scored. It was like, you know, all those goals could have been conceded, in my view, even if we played 11 men behind the ball.
Yeah.
I don't think us playing a more attacking-wise was the reason we conceded those. We might have conceded other goals, but we didn't. Because we've got a good goalkeeper in there. But, I mean, four of those five... I mean, okay, the Bobby Reid just had absolute tons of time, but the rest of them, I don't see us going forward as much of a issue about with those four goals.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could argue that the goals we scored as well, a lot of them were down to sort of good fortune when we haven't had a lot of good fortune sort of the rest of the season. So it's all sort of swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. But then I think if you attack more, you've got more chance of having that good fortune. Whereas if you have one attacking threat all game, then you're going to have to hope either do it well or you get good fortune comes. But if you're having multiple shots on goal or multiple attacks, then you know the chances are one of them's going to go for you.
Yeah, totally. And Dale, what do you reckon? The Max Meyer effect, are you happy to sort of see him come in and us sort of have a bit more of attacking thrust and being a bit weaker in midfield? Or
I think...
Or would you prefer to see the sort of more traditional Kiarte and Luca, Maka midfield?
It's a real tough one, right? Because we are solid as all heck when you've got Kiarte, Luca and Maka. Maka's your workhorse, doesn't stop running. Luca is Luca. And Kiarte, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't really know what he does in the game, but he does it well. And we look stronger.
I think we look stronger
when he's in there. I think we just look... Yeah, I think there was. I think when we played United, we all said, why is he not playing? Because he would just match Pogba for physicality, right? Maya is a damn good footballer. And in flashes this season, he has come off the bench and everyone's gone, this guy needs to start. Then he starts next game and we're like, no, I wouldn't have him starting. I'd have the other guys. Does he need a run in the team? Most likely. But then where do you play him? He's a 10 or he's a deep lying playmaker, and we don't really play with those. Luca's our deep lying playmaker, whether we think he is or not, that's what he does, that's his role in that team. So I don't see where he fits, but I think we need someone like that in our squad.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the way sort of Roy's almost now picking him for specific games where he thinks he'll be more effective.
Well, Seltzer know this. You know, in rugby, you see it all the time, right? You pick a player because they do a specific job. If we think back to World Cups gone by, Andy Sheridan was a tremendous scrummager. So he was picked, not only because he was a good player, but because he was a great scrummager. You knew what you were going to get. And I think sometimes with Maya, you know that they're going to have a weakness. So you play him. And when you've got him, Wilf and Andros doing their thing... We actually that's dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Sauce.
Sauce.
Okay, and a special mention end of the season for Jules and Punch, both moving on. Great servants for the club. Very fond memories of both players. Obviously, Punch's FA Cup goal, and Jules done so much for the club. Sad to see him go, but any words on any of those players? Anyone?
Yeah, I'll give it a look. Look, I think time's done at the club. Unfortunately, in football, there's no room for sentiment anymore. Jules has been great. he will forever be great. He'll have a special place in the heart of every Palace fan. Punch gave us, I don't know, was it 5 minutes of absolute joy in the FA Cup final when we believed?
I've never been so happy.
I know, right? I think that might have been Carrie's first time down the pub, and my God, she must have thought we were mental.
Was mad in the pub. That was mad.
I also just want to give a shout out to Pap Suave, who I believe is also moving on. So, you know, what happened to him was pretty unfortunate at the time. He was playing good football. He was proving himself to be a good left back for us. And he's never going to, I personally don't think he's ever going to fully recover from that broken leg in the car accident, etc. So, you know, I don't think we're in a position where we can just keep paying him. So fair play and to the club for unfortunately letting him go, but all the best to him as well.
Absolutely.
100%.
Mark, anything to add?
Yeah, just similar sentiment as what Dale said, all great servants of the club. And yeah, at Wembley for Punch banging that goal in and the 86 or 87 seconds of unbridled joy that he brought. Pap, you know, did a job for us. And mate, he did tremendously well just to get, you know, his boots back on and on the park from that accident. So big ask to think he'd ever come back and be where he was. And Jules, obviously, you know, not going to say anything that hasn't been said about him. Great clubman. I have a bit of an affiliation with Jules. I started supporting Palace when I moved over to London in March 2004, and then he came to the club in July. So, he's kind of, you know, being a guy that's been around pretty much since I got on board, and now he's off. So sad to see, obviously, but yeah, as Dale correctly pointed out, there's no room for sentiment in professional football. And you know, the bloke turned 40 on Saturday. Many happy returns to him, and you know, we can just laud and what he's done for us over the years.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's mad to think that there are Crystal Palace supporters, sort of nearing their 20s, who probably only known Jules at Palace.
Yeah.
Like almost their entire supporting
unbelievable
life.
That is.
Yeah. You don't get that much anymore.
Bloody
hell. Yeah. Great dude. Anyway, okay, moving on. So on my way back from work, I listened to our season preview podcast with interest to see what sort of things we were thinking before the season started. I have to say, three of the four people on this podcast were wildly off on some of their suggestions. Mm. One person, I'm not mentioning any names, me, was a little bit closer to the mark. we start with who we thought top scorer was going to be. Guys, can you remember who you put down as top scorers?
Who did you say, Tony?
Christian.
I said Wilf.
Oh.
I said Wilf, who's actually second, yeah.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Dale?
Christian Benteke.
Yeah, Benteke.
Yeah. Mark, you even gave a specific figure of goals he was going to score.
Without listening back, Tony, I think I had him penciled in for 17.
17 goals, correct.
Yeah.
Could you imagine what a season we would have had if he scored 17 goals?
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
We'd have got to my prediction of Champions League.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and for assists, we're a bit closer here. Dale?
I don't know,
I wasn't.
Dale,
I had Max. I tried to be different.
Yeah. Mark, you went with...
Did I go Townsend?
You went with Wilf.
Which
was good. Did I go with Wilf as well?
He's still got Rob Hedge, six or ten if you count penalties or something?
I think so. I think got six, is that right? And then you hedged your bets, Rob, with Wilf and Tekkers. Wilf and Andros.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not silly.
And I went Andros. But who did get the most assists in the end? I'm not entirely sure. Oh, it was McCarver.
Wilf or Jimmy Mack?
Jimmy Mack, yeah, that's right. So no one got that one. Then where did we think we were going to finish? So much positivity in this preview pod.
There was a lot to remember.
Palace does to you in the off season.
Every year it's the same. Yeah.
Because we come off the back half of the season just gone. We're all bloody full of piss and bravado. Yeah. And think, right, here we go. Yeah. And then
so Robert Dale, can you remember what you had us at?
I had us comfortably eighth. I think pushing in for that European spot.
I had a struggling to make eighth.
Right, okay.
Don't give me
go
that
for the
rubbish.
Everton Cup. Mark, can you remember?
Ninth or 11th is.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, ninth.
Ninth, okay.
Ninth. Equally as positive. I went for 13th. A bit more realistic. A lot too far off. And disaster of the season. Rob, you had Punchin, which I suppose with his belt swinging antics and his nightmare in Huddersfield was pretty close to the mark. Dale, you nailed it with PVA.
Yes.
And Mark and I went for Wardy, which I think is a bit harsh.
I do feel a bit bad now with Punch.
Okay, so those were our predictions. And now let's get on to actually sort of what we thought about the season. Guys, can I get your sort of favourite moment of the season? Mark, what about you? What's your favourite sort of number one moment of the season?
In a pure footballing sense, Roland City at Etihad with Andros's sublime goal. Only team to do it all season. Had him on the rack proper in that game, 3-1, I think, at one point. And, never really looked like losing. Controlled the game well. And, in a nutshell, that was my favourite dash for us for the season.
Dale?
Same. Has to be getting off a boat in, where was I, Victoria Falls, getting some Wi-Fi, checking the football scores and giving a massive yelp very loudly across a five-star resort as I saw that Crystal Palace were beating Man City 3-2 with 30 seconds to go. Easily.
Yeah. That was a stupid question, really. Everyone's going to have to say, obviously,
I'm going to throw in, I quite liked it when Jordan Ayew scored against Wolves because everyone's going berserk. Nothing was going. We were playing wellish, and everyone was on Ayew's back. And then he scored, and everyone, like the whole of Palace, everyone to do with Palace was just, did that just happen? Did Jordan Ayew actually score? And he looked confused as fuck as well. And then he's like, oh. And that was, I think that was as important a way win as City, I think. Honestly, because no one was expecting us to beat City, but Wolves were doing so well, and they did well. I think I quite like that moment too. But yeah, but I mean, nothing's capping the Etihad and Andros Townsend doing his best impression of me at the Renf game.
Oh God! How do we
biggest
edit?
Biggest bullshit of this season.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep that in.
Oh God!
And do we? How do we feel? I know we've discussed this. Andros's goal being not being picked as goal of the season on Match of the Day. Dale, you actually agree with the guys on Match of the Day, don't you?
It's not like I don't think Andros is a great goal. It was a great goal. Unfortunately, in the world we live in, context is everything, right? And Vincent Kompany can't stand up, let alone hit a football, bangs it in top corner and wins from the Premier League title. The narrative around it is huge. Andros is a better strike, but I can understand why they chose Kompany.
Nah, yeah. Completely disagree. Absolutely rubbish. You put both players in plain white kits, put them, and no one knows who either of them are, play them side by side, which goal is better. If Kompany wins it, then why doesn't the geezer that scored for Bournemouth or Fabian Scher, who didn't even get in the top six?
So can I just say, but that takes out the narrative. So I'm saying it was only, I reckon it was picked on narrative. So if you put them both in white shirts and you don't know who they are, you take out the narrative, and Townsend probably would win it.
which is how we should do it.
And Townsend is all. And the other thing is, there is narrative around Townsend, which is a bit annoying because it's against Man City and it's the only team to beat them in the Etihad all season. There is narrative there as well. I get why they chose it. You could choose either of those goals, and I don't think it's an issue.
I'm with you, Dale. I understand why they chose it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I get it.
Can I chime in on that quickly?
Go on, Mark.
I'd be a mug not to agree with Dale in that the context of it, of course, that's what it is. But nowhere have I seen that that is a deriving point of goal of the season. Like, they have a vote, and then I'll double down on that. They have the vote, which Enros won by 1%. Only for fucking to go, oh, nah, we'll give it to company. So that's fine. If that's part of the process or part of the makeup for golf season, fine, 100% order along. I totally agree. But then I'll go, well, what's the point of why are we all voting? Why do you have a vote in thing for it? And then why do you override that? If, you know, so it was all a bit of bullshit in the end, I thought.
Is it part of the process usually? I'm so used to us having the goal of the season scored against us, I don't really pay much attention to how it works. But is that usually what happens? We vote and then they decide? Or isn't it usually just a vote?
I have no idea. So this year they did the public voted for a top three and then they chose the winner. And
They're like, the public, you're wrong. This is the goal.
Brexit means Brexit.
But as you say, Sel, right? I actually thought Fabian Schär's goal was phenomenal. I mean, that was unreal.
I mean, he's hit that from Sunderland and it's got into the
I wouldn't say that, mate. Don't let Newcastle fans hear you say that. Jesus.
Yeah, our high ratio of Newcastle supporters that listen to this podcast.
We've lost that listener.
those thousand. All right, so we've had best moment of the season. Plenty to choose from here. Worst moment of the season. Rob, what have you got?
Oh, Ned's trolling on the WhatsApp group. Some superb trolling.
Brilliant.
That's got to be right
it's
up
been
there.
Brilliant. All year it's been great.
The obvious answer to Bryson games, but I just think, honestly, I know we're a Palace podcast, but as a general thing, the standard of officiating this season has been atrocious. Not just for us. If you look at some of the decisions Liverpool got, this league would have been over a month ago. I mean, they would have been nowhere near it. So, standard of officiating has been the worst part of this season. It's been so frustrating, ridiculous. I mean, the Southampton game is the one thing that springs to mind massively, obviously, for the Wolf getting sent off, but whatever is Jack Stevens. But it's just the leg breaking tackle from Jack Stevens, it wasn't even a free kick. I mean, come, move on because I'm going to go.
We're already too far through for that. All right. Mark, how about you?
Well, just to reassure Rob, all that will be ironed out next season. Of course, we can welcome VAR, which will solve all of those problems. In one. Tones, what are we after, mate? Worst of the season?
Worst moment of the season, yeah.
So I think Rob touched on the Brighton double, which was not cool. For me, I wrote a couple down so we didn't double up on each other. For me, whilst City, beating City at City, the hot, then going on to draw 0-0 with Cardiff at home the following week, I thought was ludicrous.
Peak Palace.
Yeah, totally. 100%. How about you, Dale?
Sacco's miss against Newcastle.
Oh,
I was at that game. I was in line. I was in line with it. And at the time, I thought it was a bad miss. And when we got home and saw it, I can't believe how professional footballer does not put that anywhere near the goal. Anyway, that was it.
We've had some crackers this year. I mean, last year, it was Dan. Scott Dan won it hands down. But this year, there's two from Sacco, that one in Southampton. There's Wardy in last minute against Watford away.
Jimmy Mack? Yeah.
At West Ham at home. And you're like...
If some of those had gone in, we'd be knocking on the door of Europe, you know, because they're all like crucial goals, weren't they? They're all potential winners.
Match winners.
Yeah.
Stunning, stunning efforts on goal we've had this year.
Yeah, really bad. Yeah, I've kind of you've mentioned all of mine. The Brighton and Watford double really put a dampener on my season. Mm. I thought if we'd made it to Wembley, that would be definitely a successful season. And yeah, Wilf getting sent off and that whole Southampton debacle was just left a real bitter taste in my mouth. So yeah, that's some pretty bad moments. So I think we've all agreed AWB was our player of the season. Do we have a worst player of the season? Dale, I'll start with you.
It's too easy to say PVA or Benteke, isn't it? I mean, yeah, those two. I mean, PVA, I think I said it the first part of the season. I just don't think he's a very good defender, and I think he'll get exposed. He did. He didn't look that good. Benteke, I am almost at the point where I'm done with the guy. And I don't mean that in a horrible way. He just doesn't look like he's going to get it back. He comes on. He looks good. He wins headers. He's holding the ball up. But apart from the game against Arsenal when he scored the header, there's no threat. And that's disappointing. You know, he's a 27 million pound striker, which is a lot of money no matter who you are. He just needs to produce the goods, and I think if he isn't scoring by Christmas, he's got to go.
Yeah. Mark, how about you? You got anyone that's really disappointed you this season?
Well, Dale mentioned Benteke for mine. Mate, you've been kind of giving him till Christmas. I just want him out the door now. Ridiculous return. What's he about? A million quid a goal that he scored for us? That's got to be about right, roughly. Or more.
More than that, yeah, more.
Yeah, I mean, we're not a club that can throw that sort of money around for that return. And of course, like I said, and does other good things in the air, can hold the ball up. That's all wonderful. But if, yeah, you're coming into the club for $27 million to score goals, and your return for two seasons on the bounce is, what, three last season, one this season? Yeah. Nah, man, that's the only reason I want him in a Palace shirt back on the pitch is to play well, so someone ears prick up and come in to make a decent offer, because hopefully someone in China still thinks something of him, because he's worn out his welcome with me, that's for sure. I wouldn't be giving the guy to Christmas, no way.
Wait, Mark, tough words.
Yeah, well.
What do you think of Benteke, Mark?
Obviously, I wouldn't say any of this to his face, but, you know. terrible, terrible, man. Come on, you can't have that sort of price tag and give me that return. No.
Not Rob, enough. Do you absolutely hate Benteke as well, or someone else in mind?
Not as much as Mark. I'm not sure what he's done to him. I mean, I can't have passed PVA, and mainly for the reason I've never seen someone so scared of a physical encounter on a football pitch as well. It's like when Antonio won the penalty against us because Guita just missed it, it's because he ran through PVA because he was too scared to get in the way. Watch Spurs' second goal. He kind of turns his back on the ball so the ball doesn't hit him. You know, loses James Ward-Prowse. This is just stuff I can think of at the top of my head for the Southampton equaliser. Shows knockout onto his left foot when we all know he's only got a left foot to bury it into the top corner for 2-1.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just stuff off the top of my head. I mean,
yeah,
he scores some goals, but I think we need an upgrade there.
Yeah, I'd agree. All right, well, what about, on a more of a positive spin, who's been your hero of the season? Mark, who's been a player not necessarily a player, just anyone sort of around the club that's sort of done it for you this season?
Yeah, I wrote a couple down here in case we doubled up, but I'll go with my first cab off the rank, which is our fearless manager, Roy Hodgson. He's my hero of the season. Managed to chalk up being the oldest Premier League manager in the history of the Premier League. Overtaking, I think, Fergie for that one, or I know Fergie's in the top three anyway. So, excuse me, manage that. Oldest manager of a winning team or match in the Premier League. And then on the last day, the boys did him a solid and gave him his 100th victory as a Premier League manager. And I know we've had the knives out for him throughout the season, as have I. Put my hand up as well. I had the shits at various stages, but I think in hindsight, you crunch all the numbers, he's a safe pair of hands. You can't put an old head on young shoulders, and in the Premier League, there's no older head than Roy Hodgson, and he's getting my three votes as my hero for this season.
Nice. How about you, Rob?
Hero for... I'm going to say Captain Fantastic, Luke. I mean, played every minute of every game. Looked like he was injured about five times in one game, I think, as Brian got kicked all over, but just carries on going. Just carries on going. And, you know, he's got some heart. He's got some serious heart. So I definitely say him. I was half expecting Mark to turn around and say hero of the season was Benteke, which was surprised. didn't get that. There's also a big shout out for Connor Wickham for finishing at least two games of football this year.
Well done, Connor. How about you, Dale?
I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to say Mr. Zaha. He has, again, been our talisman. And I just love the fact of what he did against Bournemouth when Lerma... He shouldn't have reacted to Lerma in the first place, but he did. It's Wilf. And when Nathaniel Clyne went for him, which, let's be honest, was a disgusting tackle...
Awful.
And if Wilf goes down, Klein gets sent off. As it is, he gets nothing. And then Lerma to run over and just, you know, I'm going to push you. I'm not even going to try and foul you. I'm just going to push you to the ground. And he's kept going whilst he's got all the Bournemouth fans singing, he's going to dive in a minute. And he keeps running and puts the ball into Andros beautifully with the outside of his foot to score the goal. I mean, you know, that for me, if he does leave... On that alone, he deserves to leave because that is that's what he's been to us. And that's why, for me, much like we have all the... I've said a lot about Wilf over the years. For that alone, he's my hero of the season.
Yeah, actually, that was one of my moments of the season. I should have picked that. Yeah. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
What a great moment. I was off my seat. My hero of the season, I've gone for Martin Kelly, actually, for unsung hero.
Yeah.
I think he's been fantastic when he's come in.
Yeah.
It's probably replaced Dan as sort of third choice centre back. And yeah, just steps in, does a great job every time. My second hero of the season was Wayne Hennessy for trying to think that maybe we'd believe that he was hailing a cab when he was making a Nazi salute.
Oh my God.
That's a heroic leap of faith to think that we're all going to fall for that one. So,
We didn't fall for it. The FA did.
Did, yeah. It's not saying much, is it? So, yeah, I guess we sort of wrap things up by talking about next season now. Who do we reckon's going to go? And what do we need to do to sort of make sure we can maintain this sort of mid-table obscurity? Dale, I'm sure you've got a few thoughts.
Well, look, I just think... The key thing for us, we have some nice stability within the squad. We don't need wholesale changes. We probably need a left back. We need a striker for sure. And the big, big question mark for every Palace fan is, do we start the season with Wilfred Zaha and Aaron Wan-Bissaka? Simple as that. If you believe the rumours, and let's be honest, we don't try... We read the papers over here. We don't have the news, but it's getting here. Even Optus are putting stuff on their Facebook page about Wilf going to Arsenal and whatever else. You know, I don't think they'll both go. I do think one of them will go. I think it's likely to be Wilf. And then it's a question of we have to negotiate the best deal possible for this club. And we also have to be out there looking at the best replacement. So... I'm just spitballing names for the sheer hell of it, whether it be a Grealish, whether it be a Sessegnon, whether it be some random kid we've never heard of playing in the Portuguese third division. It doesn't matter. We just have to be out there looking, making the connections to make sure we spend that money wisely and secure the future of our club as a Premier League team. Simple as.
Yeah. And Mark, if we lose Wilf, can we secure our future as a Premier League team? Have we got enough about us to do it?
I think with some obvious recruitment to be had, should Wilf be leaving, then I think we can definitely, yeah. I think our squad depth is good enough that we can maintain Premier League status. We might dip a little. We might have to stop looking at realistically finishing top half and, you know, be happy with maybe sort of 12 through 16 or something like that. But I think now, and which has come about with the last couple of seasons of stability, bit of fine-tuning. If Wilf goes, obviously that's going to be a donkey load of cash. Unfortunately, a chunk of it we've got to give to Man U. But I'm sure the powers that be will take all that into account. And yeah, I agree with Dale. I don't think there's a lot of wholesale changes need to be made. A little bit of tweaking here and there, but no, definitely, mate. I don't think it's a death knell if Wilf goes.
All right, and being our resident sort of A-League and Australian football expert, any sort of Australian footballers caught your eye over the last year that we could be sort of sniffing around?
Well, it's funny you say that because I know at one point Palace went in for Mark Milligan and they could not agree to transfer fee with Melbourne Victory, I believe. Read today that he's left Hibs, so we can have him for free now if we want.
At the age, I think he might be past his best.
But yeah, seriously, you've always got my eye on a couple of Aussies that I'd love to get back in the team. The guys will get a good look at one of them, hopefully, at the pre-season game with Hertha Berlin playing at Selhurst with Matt Leckie on the wing for them. Injured at the moment, but hopefully that could be one of his games back. And if he puts on a bit of a display, there could be some interest there. Said it before, Owen Mabil, I think, is a great young prospect. Just won the Danish Cup or Super Cup, whatever they have over there, with Midtjylland. My pronunciation is probably not correct there. And then, yeah, even keeper-wise.
All our Danish listeners are all going to be up in arms. Oh, my God. We'll be losing them in droves.
And then keeper-wise, Danny Vukovic from Genk, who's just won the Superliga. Yeah. With them, 34, great gloveman. So, yeah, that'll be my couple of Aussie tips.
Your picks. Nice, nice. And Rob, how about you, mate? What are your thoughts for next season?
Yeah, on the Wilf thing, that if that's going to happen, it's happened. Transfers like that tend to be sorted. So I'd assume that if it's going to happen, Wilf knows where he's going. We know where Palace know where he's going, and Palace know who their replacement is.
Goodbye? Do you think he was saying goodbye that last game of the season when he came off? Do you think the whole substitution was for that reason?
It does seem that way. He never gets taken off. And it's like, no. There's no reason to take him off if he's going to be there next year. It's like standing ovation for him. He's done everything. And as every Palace says, he goes with best wishes. But because of who he is and how important he is to the club, I would assume that negotiations with whoever he's going to be going to have been going on for some time. The fee, they know the fee. Wilf's going to negotiate his contract, and we know we have our top three targets that we are speaking to right now because it's that important to us. If not, then we're up the creek with our paddle. Dale's right, one of them will go. Wilf or AWB. I think AWB here will be here next season. One more year, and then he won't be. Simple as. But where Wilf will go, who knows? And there's some decent players in the Championship, you know, that young, happy to attack. I don't know all of them, so I don't know any of them really, but I've heard whispers, people that I know of that I respect, that talk about players in the Championship. So there's players we will never ever replace Wilf Zaha. Yeah. That's the thing.
That's right.
It will never happen. So as long as Palace fans get this into head now, that we will never ever replace him. So whoever comes in isn't going to be Wilf. He's not going to be as good as Wilf. He never will be. Right. Let's just not have we didn't replace Julian Speroni moment with whoever comes in from Wilf.
Yeah,
we're expecting.
Or Marco Gabbiadini replacing Ian Wright. Remember that?
Yeah.
God, yeah.
The thing is about Wilf he is a generational talent. Okay, he is a once in a to come through in the academy and play for that team. He's a once in a lifetime kind of player and be that good. Like we won't see another one of him. We can't replace him unless we go and buy Messi, and even then it wouldn't be the same because Messi doesn't care about Palace like he cares about Barcelona, right? Like what Wilf does. So we've just got to make sure we get someone or a couple of people who come in and are prepared to play football. They want to work hard, fit into Roy's system and not let us down. That's all we can hope for. If we do that, we'll be fine.
Yeah. Agreed.
And one name that no one seems to be bringing up, but I'm really worried about, is Sakho going. Mamadou, you know, he's been saying in the press quite a bit, he's sort of got plans. That day, you're waving your hand around, you don't believe it, you reckon he'll be here next season?
No, let him go.
Let him go?
Let him go.
He's the best centre-back we've ever had, mate.
Mate. Come on, man. if he doesn't want to be there, let him go. All right? Yes, he's very good, but do you know what? Tompkins and Kelly showed themselves to be good when they came in.
Mate.
And do you know what?
As much as he's
a good defender, you cannot tell me you don't sit there at least two or three times a game and think, bloody hell, Sakho, what are you doing? If we sold him for 30 million, we will get a centre-back who is better than him for that money. I can guarantee it. I'll guarantee we can.
Better than him.
Yep, guarantee.
You reckon Crystal Palace Football Club are going to get a centre-back better than Mamadou Sakho?
Yeah, I do. We had this conversation.
I can't wait to see the centre-back we're going to get. We had with a conversation. Jack Grealish in the team as well. I'm looking forward to next season.
Last pod, two pods ago, we had a conversation about where he rates in terms of centre-backs playing in England. And I've got him pretty far down the list already. Honestly, the guy's good. I think he's only good for us because we've had such crap before him. He replaced Damien Delaney. He can run, so there you go. He's ahead of Damien straight away.
Also, just his ability to play out of defence, you know, we really missed when he first went. I mean, we fell apart.
Yeah.
When he first got injured. Yeah.
Granted, but we also didn't have a guy who was sliding in all over the place.
I know what you mean, Dale. Each game, you think, oh, here we go. What's he going to do here? Or give the ball away? Or, you know, he'd have one or two in him each game. But I think I heard on the Palace pod, he had the highest passing accuracy of any player this year, which just astounded me because I was like, really?
But centre backs generally do because they don't pass the ball very long. And I'm not being that to be horrible about Sakho. They generally are passing to goalkeepers, to centre mids, to fullbacks. They're not passing long distances. They generally do, and they're under the least pressure. I think the guy's good. I don't get me wrong, but if he wants to go and he's not interested, then let him go.
Oh yeah, that's it. If he wants to go, you're not interested. Let him go.
Your
claim we're going to get someone better.
I think we could.
That's me so blasé about it.
But why couldn't we?
He'll be a big miss.
Why can't we get someone better?
Because he's the best we've had.
So I tell you what, let's get someone else who is even better than the best we had.
Better.
If Jules was the best we had, we were never going to get a better goalkeeper than Jules. And we have Greta.
All right, we'll get someone better than Wilf as well. Easy.
No,
next season.
Different.
That's
it. Different.
I can't wait. Champions League.
All right, well, on that note, let's leave it there. I guess we'll sort of touch base again sometime mid-season. We'll talk transfer dealings and all that kind of stuff. We've got the Women's World Cup coming up, so there'll be some discussion there. Chaps, been a good fun season. More of the same next year, yeah?
Here's hoping.
Been a pleasure.
Bloody right.